This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest, meatiest, center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
What we see here likely is just the tip of the iceberg. There's no assurance that it is all of the communications between Donald Trump Jr. and the WikiLeaks, which, by the way, is characterized by the CIA director, President Trump's own CIA director, as a hostile intelligence service abetted by the Russians.
Third and seven from the Miami 32. Shotgun snap goes to the quarterback. Newton throws a pass, caught in the sideline 10, cutting in at the 5, angling into the end zone, touchdown! Devin Funchess' his second touchdown catch tonight.
All right, so there we are, a snapshot of what's happening in our world. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. First up was Richard Blumenthal, senator from Connecticut, talking about Donald Trump Jr.'s messages with WikiLeaks, and they were messages apparently before his dad was president when he was running for president. I think we'll hear more on this. He's released the exchanges, obviously, that he had during, you know, those direct messages during the 2016 presidential campaign. He tweeted the exchange after he first reported on the correspondence. And he wrote, here's the entire chain of messages with WikiLeaks, a whopping three responses. Which one of the congressional committees has chosen to selectively leak? How ironic. So he released them, and he put them out there on his Twitter. And remember, this is stuff that was being alluded to by the New York Times. So where does it go? There may be more that comes out of this, but It was something that, again, as he said, three responses. It sounded like it was a treasure trove of back and forth, but it wasn't. But there were these private messages that were exchanged, and what do those messages say? Here's what it said. One of them said, a PAC-run anti-Trump site is about to launch. The PAC is a recycled pro-Iraqi war PAC. We have guessed the password. It is Putin-Trump. See about for who is behind it. Any comments? And then it goes on to say, you know, a few other things about Hillary Clinton, Julian Assange, which we knew that he was gunning for. Okay, so what's the deal with Hillary Clinton, and this is not new news there. These are just the specific exchanges. All right, and you heard the sports world, too, because, of course, we had Monday Night Football. If you do that escape thing, can you believe we're already into now Week 10 officially is out, so Week 11 when it comes to the NFL, so much controversy there. And we'll talk about that later in the week as we get closer to yet another week of football, like I said. But Carolina and Miami, what happened in that meeting was the Dolphins 45-21 for a third straight win. The Panthers hammered the Dolphins 45-21. So Cam Newton threw for 254 yards and four touchdowns. I know we have a lot of Carolina fans who are listening to the show. All right, let's seg over to Izzy and hear what she has to say. Izzy is listening to us in Missouri. Hey, Izzy, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. With respect to Lori Lewis and what she said about the military law,
yeah.
The UCMJ is different than civilian law, number one. And number two, there's three types of court-martials. Like the Texas shooter was tried under a general court-martial. There's also a special court-martial. And then there's a summary. which is generally for podunk infractions. So, and the statute of limitations does vary state to state. There's no hard and fast rule on statute of limitations. It's not just a straight 7 years. And the UCMJ is a lot tougher than, say, your civilian laws, which include both state courts and federal courts. So she needs to get that straight. Because I was listening to her and I was just groaning. And Congress needs to keep their hands out of the military. They've already screwed it up to the point that it's nothing more than a political organization in some respects.
But I agree, there's screw-ups. We've said that about rules of engagement before.
Okay, but just so you know, the Army just reduced its enlisting requirements. They're going to take bipolar and all manner of mental people because they're so low. So, yeah, there you go. Now, with respect to Braymore, do I believe those women? I do not. And the second I saw Gloria Allred, I'm going, oh, God. Yeah, we have our hands full because that woman is nothing more than an ambulance chaser, in my opinion. And I can't stand her. And if she appears with any woman, usually the woman is lying. And I have seen that over and over and over with her. It's just heinous. But I'll tell you, I worked rapes and domestic violence back in the 70s. And I don't know any young girl that I had that wasn't screaming rape or what we called statutory rape back then.
Right.
Or anything else. They actually were coming out of the closet. And I read, reread the stories of these women. Okay, let's fast forward to today. Those women would not have used the language that they are using in their little canned accusations. I don't believe it, Kate. I just don't. Because to be able to recant in detail like they have done is mentally impossible. We lose the better part of our recollections or memory recall within 48 hours. You're lucky to remember 10%. And they would be darn lucky to remember these finite details that they've been giving 40 years later. It doesn't happen that way. And I can tell you...
What would be the purpose of coming forward, though?
Oh, I think it's 100% political. Look at what they did to Herman Cain. Look at what they did to Trump, or tried to do.
Yeah.
He ended up winning. But Herman Cain, they went after him, too. And they, I mean, some of the accounts were absolutely salacious because, my God, how could we have a black conservative become president? And I personally think that McCain, let's not dig into his closet. Let me tell you, people, you want to be shocked? Yeah, Playboy McCain, and not to mention all his lies about being a POW. How many planes did he bring down? 5? And we're still... kept on as a pilot because of daddy dears. Oh, and let's not talk about McConnell. Open up his closet. I have. And let me tell you, he is no saint.
I love that. So is he on the other side? Yeah, is he on the other side? So there is two sides to every story. I would say that I agree somewhat with what she said about Gloria Allred, but I think you proceed with caution because I hate any woman who's being truthful to be accused of lying, too. Stay with us.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, years, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at FullyCookedBacon.com. FullyCookedBacon.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to LibertyOnCall.org. That's LibertyOnCall.org.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
What a pleasure to welcome to the show Liza Landsman, president of Jet.com. I know you've heard of it. It was launched back in July of 2015. And think about what has happened since then. Acquired by Walmart for $3 billion in August of 2016. Liza Landsman, this is so fascinating, was promoted from Chief Customer Officer to President, and a lot of people are talking about Jet.com. And, of course, Liza is at Dig South as well. Liza, thanks so much for popping on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So I think everybody, in my world, everybody knows the story of Jet.com. For the few who don't, can you give us kind of a recap of how Jet.com got started?
Sure. Jet.com really got started out of an insight that e-commerce had been focused on innovating for speed and specialty, but no one had really focused on innovating around price, which is something we know a lot of Americans care a lot about. And we wanted to be able to deliver great value without sacrificing product or quality of service.
So it's interesting, when you focus on price like that, what you're really doing is looking at what people actually do when they shop online, which is go to a gazillion sites and find the best price. And you decided, well, maybe that should be our core business value. Is that what you're describing?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of that and also something that is far less sexy, which is the super glamorous world of supply chain reengineering.
Could you say that again, just so we can sort of revel in the sexiness of it?
Yes, I know. Everyone is like fanning themselves when I say supply chain reengineering.
And so what is supply chain reengineering for those of us who never once thought of this in our lives?
Sure. Well, when you think about what happens in most e-commerce, you put a few things in your basket, and each of those things most likely is getting shipped from someplace separate. And there's lots and lots of cost embedded in that shipping, which often you as a consumer are paying without even realizing it. And so what we have done is say every time you add something to your basket, and we give you lots of cues about how to do this in the best, smartest way so you can save the most money, we dynamically switch out through an algorithm how many different suppliers are sending you stuff so that we can optimize for the fewest number of shipments, shipping the shortest distance, which pulls a lot of costs out of actually delivering those products to you. So if you think about it, right, lots of people, when they talk about dynamic prices and driving down prices online, that's like saying you're going on a diet, but you're just pulling on a pair of Spanx. We're actually getting those pounds out of the system.
Wow. So you came up with the idea. It goes. You can tell you have something special. When did you know that? When did you know, wow, this thing has massive legs, and I know people are going to come after us?
Well, you know, we try and keep ourselves honest every day, so I ask myself that question every morning and make sure more and more folks continue to respond and are interested in our value proposition. But I think we launched in July of 2015, and by October of 2015, we had about 1 million users, which put us just between Instagram and Spotify in terms of the list of fastest to 1 million users. And I think that was a really strong early signal to us that we had something that really resonated with consumers.
So I want to jump in here for a minute, because even though you've started out here saying what you did was engineer this thing that I can't even remember the name of, supply chain reengineering, right?
You're going to have a bumper sticker soon.
Yeah,
supply chain is the new black.
I'm so excited about it. But I do want to point to, I think, one other thing that was part of your secret sauce or your magic formula, because I don't want to overlook it. I want people to get a full view here. You were reengineering the supply chain, but from my outsider's perspective, you are also completely aware of the fact that if you didn't nail the marketing, your supply chain engineering wasn't going to make any difference at all. So can you address that part of the business model as well?
Well, sure, that's true, but we don't like to tell our supply chain engineers that. So let's just keep that part between us.
Okay, it's our little secret.
But that's really true. I mean, look, part of what we did, so the supply chain reengineering was kind of the how. The why to us, to a large part, was that e-com had largely been this very transactional, very kind of inhuman set of interactions that people had. And as it becomes a even more growing part of everyone's day-to-day life, we thought there was a better way to go about building a brand in e-commerce, one that could form an emotional connection with people, one that could, you know, not take itself too seriously and have some wit and personality. And so we really thought about building the brand in a way that was both scalable and very efficient, right, and grounded in a lot of the smart use of data in terms of how we invested our marketing dollars, but also one that just spoke to people like they were people. You know, we always like to say there are humans behind the brand, and we wanted to make sure that came through in the voice of all of our communications and marketing.
Wow. Liza, you talked about how quickly it was when you knew, boom, that you had the 1 million users. You had hit that mark so quickly from July to October. Now you realize, like I said, that there's going to be people that are going to come after you, and that's pretty exciting. You decide on Walmart. How surreal was that? What was that like?
Very surreal. I mean, everything happened really, really quickly. I mean, one of the things for folks who have worked in startups, you get this very bizarre kaleidoscoping of time where every day seems like a month long, but the weeks go by in about 2 seconds. And I think, you know, launch in July 2015, close the deal with Walmart in August of 2016. And I've worked at some pretty large, impressive, successful companies in my past, but you ain't seen scale till you've seen Walmart.
All right, so a little victory question here. The deal with Walmart is done. It's signed. Where were you, and what were you doing an hour later?
It was signed on a very late Sunday night, and I was up an hour later figuring out how quickly I could get to my office so we could tell the team. which is the most important thing for us, because rumors of the deal had come out a few days before we actually signed, for lots of fun, complicated SEC reasons. We couldn't talk to the team about it. So with the signing behind us, we wanted to make sure that our teams on the ground had all the best information from us right away. It's a very exciting moment, but a lot of change, and really important for us to be in front of it with our team.
And were you in Bentonville at that point, or were you in New York, or I mean, physically,
no,
where were you?
Physically, we were in Hoboken, which is where our offices are.
Okay.
As we like to say, half the price, twice the pay.
Very much in keeping with the culture of Jet.com,
yeah,
I would think.
Absolutely. And I
supply chain reengineering of office space.
Exactly. That's right. And the Hoboken Chamber of Commerce is not paying me to say that. But we've actually found them to be just a tremendous partner. As much as people always ask about, gosh, you know, is it a big change? And it is. There are remarkable similarities in our cultures, the focus on the consumer, the importance of community, and a strong sense of fairness and kind of respect for the individual in terms of our relationships with employees. So we found that partnership and that relationship more familiar than one might expect from the outside.
When I was asking you about an hour after the deal was done, where were you and what were you doing, I was really wondering, like, could you describe the champagne moment with us? I mean, at some point there must have been a champagne moment.
You know, actually, the champagne moment that we had was months and months and months and months later, because we signed the deal in August. It closed in September, which is pretty fast, but put us right into, you know, the heart of holiday season, which is our absolute busiest time of year. And so we had a whole company-wide celebration in late January that was both kind of a celebration of all we'd accomplished together leading up to the deal, celebration of an amazing second holiday season, and just a great time with great friends. You know, when you go through kind of the launch of something that big and the speed with which we had a big transitional transaction, these are folks that really feel like family in many ways. So that whole team party was, I will say, a great moment. I know for me personally, and I know for the whole management team, and no one else outside the company gets to see the photos.
I love that. Nobody gets to see the photos. Liza, hang on. We want to talk to you more about your appearance at Dig South and a few other quick things. So we're going to be back coming up in our next segment with Liza Landsman, president of Jet.com.
I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
And once again, we're here with Liza Landsman, president of Jet.com. We were talking about the amazing story of how quickly Jet.com ascended and then was acquired by Walmart, and what that feeling was like. I have a question for you, Liza. We're going to ask you about Dig South, because, of course, you're at Dig South. But do you have a mentor? I'm speaking to a lot of people lately, a lot of CEOs, and I find that they have usually one person or two people that have influenced them their whole life, and they go back to them, or they have somebody new that they rely on. How about you?
Yeah, I would say I probably have two or three, one or two folks from business, you know, from work, that are sort of my touchstones and people who I really lean on for guidance and counsel. And then, you know, it's a little bit old-fashioned, but I'd also say my mom. Great role model for me. Working woman from, you know, the time I was a pretty young kid. And, you know, the grace with which she navigated, being a very present mom and an incredibly successful businesswoman, and the respect and kindness she showed her colleagues and peers, is something that has always really been a huge influence on me.
Wow. Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Thank you for sharing that with us.
And she's pretty cool.
What does mom think of your life today as the president of Jet.com?
She's very, very proud. She wished I traveled a little less.
A true mom. So, yeah. Speaking of traveling, you and I together are going to be hanging around Dig South this week in Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm really intrigued by the topic of your keynote, because you're going to talk about things like understanding digital natives and how to grow to $1 billion in sales in just under a year. Those are two huge, huge topics. But one I want to focus on first is just help us understand what you see when you just see the words digital natives. What does that phrase mean to you? And then what do you think about them in terms of your business, Jet.com?
Sure. I mean, I think about something very straightforward, although I'm a little bit of an aberration for my generation in that, you know, I grew up in the 70s, but I had a computer in my house because my dad was a computer engineer. That's very unusual. I think about my own kids and the generation just ahead of them who think of computers and technology the way I grew up thinking about the refrigerator. That is, it's just a thing in my house that performs a utility, and I don't even consciously think about it as technology. And I think there is something inherently different about the usage and approach to technology and the role that it plays in the lives of those folks who grew up thinking about, you know, AI like a refrigerator. And so it just presents different challenges and different opportunities for marketers and brand builders and business people to recognize that there is something different in the way they have to approach that set of consumers.
Yeah, it's interesting in talking about what you're focusing on at your keynote. That it's popular, I think, for people to try to grapple with the question that you're actually addressing. So I would imagine, Liza, you get a ton of requests to speak at conferences. Why did you jump on Dig South?
Well, two reasons. One of the organizers is a dear friend, and so he made a very compelling case. And the second is... I really love the idea that, you know, kind of this wave of innovation in digital, this wave of new ideas in technology is not constrained to Silicon Valley or Austin or New York or Seattle, right? That all over the country, there are these new exploding hubs where great new thinking and great new work is coming, and so getting to be a part of one of those communities was really interesting to me.
Yeah, you know, and talking about technology and just how fast our technology advancements are moving and how we grapple with them and, you know, really kind of wrap our arms around it, you see the explosion of video in the me culture. Do you ever see melding that more with what you're doing? Like, for example, I'm a speaker and I travel all over the place and people want me to do these Facebook Lives all the time, but I don't want to be live all the time, but they want video. They want to feel, touch, and, you know, they want to really just see you there. What do you see as future adoptions for you and your business?
Look, I think content in many forms plays a crucial role in how we connect with today's consumer. Video certainly plays a significant role in that. I would argue that we're also experiencing, you know, kind of the second golden age of audio. When you think about what's happening in radio, digital radio, and podcasting today. And so the thing that I think is actually critical when we think about kind of this generation of consumers is that they're not homogenous. Right? People tend to sort of talk about them as if they're all the same, and in fact, they have just as many, you know, individual quirks as the generations that came before. And so, you know, yes, there's obviously lots of folks who want to consume content through video, whether it's live or recorded. There are lots of folks who want to consume content through audio. We found also a lot of people respond really well to things we put out that are, you know, some combination of storytelling through visuals and the written word. And I think the thing that smart business people and marketers recognize is that you can't kind of homogenize down to one approach and think you're going to get a strong response from across those cohorts.
It's interesting. We're talking with Liza Landsman. She's the president of Jet.com. She's here in Charleston at Dig South, the new media for the New South Conference, along with I'm here as well. Liza, one of the things that's amazed me about marketing conversations about digital natives and millennials is they almost seem like, in the world of tech, another set of unicorns. I mean, unicorn means one thing in the business community, but then there's this other entity, the digital native or the millennial, that people talk about almost as if it's a mythological character, a unicorn. And you're describing them with a much more, I think, realistic view. So I guess I'm wondering, if you look back on when you were growing up with the mom that you described, who being the wonderful woman that she is, clearly there were things about you in your life as a teenager and then in your 20s that set you apart from your mom's generation. And now we're looking at the digital natives and we see that their lives and their view of the world is so different than ours as adults. Do you think the changes are and the differences are really that great, or are they that much different because technology has redefined so much of our lives?
I certainly think technology has redefined a lot of our lives, but I don't think technology is the sole shaping influence on the nature of a generation. Certainly the massive economic downturn post-2008 cast a pretty long shadow over the generation coming of age. And when I think about it, you know, when I was growing up, there were, post-70s, right, a lot of my formative years in my 20s were these like very boom years in the stock market. And I remember, you know, my generation, we were all shocked in 2001, post 9/11, when the bottom fell out of the market, and that left a mark on us. So I think technology is a huge influence on how a generation consumes content and commerce, and to a certain extent to its values, but I also think there are massive cultural influences outside of technology. But smart business people and marketers think about those cultural influences as a consideration when they're designing technological solutions.
So, Liza, how do you tap into that? That's brilliant. It's like the three C's, commerce, cultural, talking about content, all of that is great. How do you make sure you tap into it and you're on the cutting edge?
Well, first of all, I work with a lot of millennials, so that is most of whom don't get any of my television references, but that's okay. So that's important. We have smart agency partners, and frankly, I think, as you know, most informed business people do, I read a lot. You know, I think it's important both to have experience live with the consumer set that you are focused on, but, you know, there are a lot of smart people out there researching, and never make the mistake of thinking, you know, you alone or your team alone has the perfect insight into your consumers.
And so my last question, our last question for you is, because this is a feature called Forbes Books at Bedtime, what keeps you, Liza Landsman, the president of Jet.com, what keeps you up at night?
Well, two things. I have two teenage kids, so just think about that. although they're wonderful. But honestly, I sleep pretty well. I really do. You know, I think we have articulated a strategy that I think is smart and flexible, and we are in the business of, as my old former boss used to say, prosecuting it vigorously. But as always, many a slip between the cup and the lip. So the things that I worry about the most are just making sure we execute brilliantly, and that is a full-time gig because, you know, as they say, rust never sleeps.
I like that. Perfect place to end this. Liza Landsman, president of Jet.com. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
Are you tired of paying fees and commissions to that other site? I know you are, and I'm here to tell you about a great alternative to sell your stuff. BuySellMakeOffer.com is the best-selling site to ever come along. It doesn't matter what you're selling, big or small, it's easier than ever. And you can use Skype to show your items and get to know your potential buyer, and they can see that you are for real. No more blind trust. And you're not limited to snapshots. You can video what you're selling to better sell it fast. For as little as $9.95, and that's after a free 30 days, you can sell everything you no longer want with absolutely no fees, ever. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and become part of a community of buyers and sellers who have already discovered this revolutionary way of getting it sold online. That's BuySellMakeOffer.com. You'll never regret making the switch. BuySellMakeOffer.com. So, what are you waiting for?
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Right now, I don't think we gave him too much Red Bull. I'm not sure about that. He's the complete opposite of many of us on the third shift who kick it into high gear a little bit later in the evening. Eric Peters is our guest, and he is a libertarian. He is self-professed libertarian gearhead. He writes about cars, energy, and freedom. Here's what I like. If you go to Eric Peters autos.com, because I'm an auto freak anyway, but if you go there, man, you will learn things that will make your eyes roll around in the back of your head, including some of the stuff that we've been talking about. What is the deal with biodiesel, which is being shoved down our throat, and who is really profiting from it? He calls it the Kool-Aid of the farm lobby, and I agree. Eric, thanks for hanging with us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, of course, now there's a lot of conversation about this, especially with the Iowa caucuses and all that stuff, and we're right into the thick of it. It seems like every day Hillary Clinton is in Iowa. So to be these politicians in modern times, you just is that what they do? They just, all right, look, we gotta go along with biodiesel, or we got to go along with ethanol. We keep hearing about the ethanol factor, but there's not even enough plants to manufacture what we would need, right?
Well, the interesting thing is that the lobby contributes equally to both political parties, and so in that way they've got both their bases covered. It really doesn't matter from their point of view which one gets elected, because ultimately it seems to be it's their guy or perhaps their woman, depending on how things turn out.
Yeah, so when you look at renewables, what specifically bothers you the most?
Well, let's see. Let's start with, we're told often about how advantageous it is to use these renewables. But if they're so advantageous, then why does the government have to force them down our throats? I've drawn the parallel with, I like to go to Chipotle. Your listeners may like Chipotle and get a burrito or a bowl there. And Chipotle doesn't send a lobbyist to Washington to have the government carve out a subsidy for Chipotle burritos because people like them and they're willing to buy them without any coercion involved. And I wonder why that same standard doesn't apply to these biofuels. If they're such a good idea, it shouldn't be necessary for the government to be involved.
Yeah, and I would say the other thing is, if it's such a good idea, then let's let the politicians drive around only on biofuels and really push that to all their constituents, which, of course, you know that's not happening, unless it's advantageous to them and they're in the breadbasket area or they're in areas where that's being pushed because of the corn lobbies there, then that's a whole different story. So it is about the power of the purse, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's a very valid point. Similarly, with regard to Obamacare and various other things that they pass, they exempt themselves from it, and that's rather telling. You know, if it's not good for the goose, it shouldn't be good for the gander. The other point that I would make is that it does cause food prices to rise, simply because a lot of the potential food that could be produced for animal or human consumption, specifically with regard to ethanol, the corn, with regard to biodiesel, soybeans, is diverted to the production of these biofuels, and as a result of that, the cost of food goes up. So we're paying more for food and we're paying more for fuel.
Yeah, beef specifically would cost more. As I know, I'm in beef land in Dallas, and then it costs more, as I was talking to a farmer the other day, it costs more to ship that too, right?
Sure, because ethanol and biodiesel, it's less energy dense, so you have to burn more of it to go the same distance. So the truckers have to spend more on fuel to get from A to B, and the stuff that they're hauling costs us more because it's cost more to produce it.
Yeah, and then here's the other part of this, Eric. What about older cars? What does that do to older cars when you're talking about using these alternatives?
Well, ethanol has been a disaster for older vehicles, which were not designed to accommodate high alcohol content fuels. Most of the ethanol that's sold right now is E10, meaning that the gas you buy is 10% ethanol. They're pushing for E15, which would be 15% ethanol, and they're also looking down the road at E85. Which is 85% ethanol. Alcohol is a corrosive fuel, and if the vehicle's fuel system is not designed specifically to accommodate it, you get all kinds of problems. One of the big ones is that it attracts moisture, and moisture is a big enemy of your fuel system. It causes fuel lines to rot out, and it's in particular playing havoc with people who have marine engines and so on, and power sports, lawn equipment and what have you. It's been really, really tough on those things.
Yeah, so when we look at that all combined and then you look at the auto industry, and if you're producing new cars, I guess it depends on what it is you're producing and where you're at, but that can be a disaster too as well for many in the auto industry, especially when they're in that what I call the second hand market, when we're talking about like used cars, right?
Yeah, it's accelerating the obsolescence of the older cars because it's increasing the wear and tear on them and getting them out of the market. And the other side of the coin is that, to get back to the point about being less energy dense, your fuel efficiency goes down when you're using these fuels. And that's rather ironic because we're constantly told about how imperative it is that we get higher efficiency and more miles per gallon, and yet the government is force-feeding fuels that are less fuel efficient on the public.
Yeah. All right. I'd be remiss, Eric, if I didn't ask you this. We're speaking to Eric Peters. You can check him out at ericpetersautos.com. You know, you write about cars, and I saw a picture of you on a motorcycle. What's your favorite chariot to ride in? What do you like the best?
Cars or bikes?
Bikes.
Okay, I've got an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple, and for people who are familiar with those, in particular the H2 750 that was made in the early mid 70s, and they are were known as the Widowmaker back in the day because of their power curve, and there's nothing that quite makes the sound. sound of a Kawasaki two-stroke triple on its power curve. There are bikes today that are much faster and much quicker, but they're much more controlled. As Hunter Thompson would say, it takes a real man to ride an old Kawasaki two-stroke triple.
I love that. How do you feel about, I know you wrote about this, you know, if you go to your website, you can read all this stuff, but you wrote about the Toyota Camry hybrid. A lot of people are talking about hybrids and what does that mean and should I get a hybrid and how much does it cost to me? And what did you find with the Camry?
Well, I find that now I think the technology is impressive and interesting, but despite all the hobbles that have been put on them by the government, you can get diesels that will do as well or better for significantly less money. With all due respect to Toyota, and I like the Camry, it's a good car, you can pick up something like a Volkswagen Jetta TDI diesel for about $5,500 less than the base price of the Camry hybrid. And in real-world driving, and I drive these cars for a living, and so I can tell you from personal experience, you will match the mileage of a hybrid, in particular if you drive a lot on the highway, which most people tend to do, for less money with less hassle. So I'm very impressed with some of the diesel cars that are on the market right now.
Yeah. When you go out, because obviously, you know, you ride a lot, and if you're on your bike, do you have a favorite route that you take?
Yeah, I live out here in the sticks of rural southwest Virginia, and there's a road just down the road from me called Bent Mountain, and it's a series of S-turns that goes about 2-3 miles from about 1,500 feet at the valley floor all the way up to about 3,000 feet in that relatively short distance, and it's the finest test track you'll find on the East Coast, in my opinion.
Wow. So, you know, I said this in the beginning, too, mixing in the politics of the libertarian bent. When you look at the fact that on Thursday we got 10 people on a stage of the Republican debate, is there anyone in that crowd that you like?
Unfortunately not. Unfortunately not. You know, it's really kind of daunting and sad to look at that field and not find anybody that's really simpatico. And the reason, as a libertarian, that's the case is I'm not looking to tell anybody what to do. I would just like to leave everybody alone and ask the same in return.
Yep.
And unfortunately, none of those guys are willing to do that.
Yeah, it looked like Rand Paul, you know, initially, when Rand Paul jumped into the Senate, it looked like he was going in that direction, but now that's switched, I think.
I think so, too, unfortunately. Of course, you know, on the other side of the fence, it's none too appealing either.
Yeah, so then what do you do? I mean, it comes down to this. I say this all the time because I'm always pushing for the third party. But, you know, when it comes to voting, do you just say, well, I got to sit this out because who am I voting for?
Well, there's lots of arguments to be made on that, but one of them that I think is pretty persuasive is by just withdrawing your consent. They desperately need the illusion, if not the actuality, of consent. That is the idea that most people have supported one or the other candidates. But when you break it down, particularly at the presidential level, what is it? Something like about half the eligible voter pool votes. So that's about 50%. And then the winner typically wins by about 25%. So you've got a relatively small minority of the actual eligible voters who actually wind up selecting the president. So despite all the talk about democracy, majority rule, in fact, the minority rules.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And if you, like you said, if you do the math, it's simple math, then you realize what's really happening. Yeah,
exactly.
Really, really, really sad. Fun to talk to you, though, Eric Peters. Thanks for hanging late with us. And again, check him out at ericpetersautos.com. Thanks.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You betcha. Bye-bye. And nothing to see. Sometimes I feel like something is gone here. Something is wrong here.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get virtualshield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at virtualshield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. Virtualshield.com. You have the right to remain private.